Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Full EV or plug-in hybrid? Go electric with Kia. For more, log on to kia.com.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. We featured it on Liveline a couple of years ago. It was called Donegal Tuesday. Students in Galway, basically on the tear from early morning. There was queues, was not the photographs we got, and then it turned into a full-scale debate, and students were saying we needed to blow out before the exams, and it was to and fro. Now we've Donegal Tuesday, now we've Manic Monday. People are looking at those images last night. The difference is we're in a different world. We're in a pandemic world with a savage, vicious pandemic that's killing people, as we know, and having, as we heard yesterday, long-term effects on those who get the coronavirus. Brian is on the line. Brian, good afternoon. You're a publican. And you say you're sick, sore and tired of what you've been witnessing since you reopened.
How are you, Joe?
Good.
So we opened on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And found it very hard over the weekend there now. And debating whether we'll stay open or not now at this stage.
Why?
I don't know. We've spent thousands on getting everything ready. Safety, all the procedures in place. But we're doing that, and people are arguing with us for little things like beer mats, for example. In the original protocol, you're not allowed to have beer mats. And then people arguing with us, why can't they have a beer mat when up the town in a different pub, they can have them. Things like that, pool tables. So it's very hard to manage now. We had a lot of staff working over the weekend, and it felt like working a school each night. And it was just hard.
Brian, you broke up there. What was each night like?
It felt like working at Stevenson's night. You know,
we were
so busy, but limited, very small capacity, but we were just so busy trying to watch everything and manage everyone. And then, for example, there's people who've had the virus already that they're not taking this serious, and I spent more time going to each person saying, can you put your mask on when you're on the titles? Can you do this? Can you do that? And they just weren't listening. They wouldn't listen to us. They think they're invincible to this virus now because they've had the virus already.
And are they? How do you know they've had the virus, Brian?
Because from approaching them, I'm not going to say too much, but personally, I know these people. I know they've had it. And I've approached them on the night. I said, can you put your mask on? And then 5 minutes later, they're at a different table and the mask is off again. And I'm back over to them. Can you put your mask back on? Back to the seat, and they're just not taking it serious.
That's it. And do the Gardaí help you? I know they're up to their eyes.
But they've been into us each night, but only briefly. Like they've come to the door. Is everything okay? Like I had the guards in inspecting the pub first, and they were happy with everything, happy the way it's run. And to be honest, we put so much behind this, and we're running this so strict that it's hard when other pubs around us. And I'm not saying they're not doing things right, but there's little things, like even down to the stalls being individually wrapped, people are giving out about them. And we're doing everything by the book. Do you know what I mean?
And what did you see the scenes in Galway or read about them?
Yeah, I've seen the scenes in Galway this morning.
And what do you
think? I think that's only going to get worse with the students.
Why do you say that?
Because everyone's been locked up now since March, whereas I think the pubs should have been open back in June and maybe looking at closing them now to give people a chance to make some money. But I think that because everyone was locked up, everyone's mad to get back out, you know.
Yeah. And you're saying you're thinking of closing. What would prompt you to close?
It's just really hard to manage, Joe. Like, we opened on Wednesday last week. On Wednesday till Friday was perfect. Everyone was doing everything. But then it just, Saturday night, kind of started to get a bit messy. It just was very hard. It was very hard to police all night long, making sure everyone, when they were out of their seat, had the mask on. When they were going to the toilets, the number of people in the toilets, people jumping from seats to seats. Like, it's hard to watch everyone.
Wow. And you're saying it's difficult to check them?
It's very difficult.
Chastise them or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, with table service, with everything we're doing, it's very hard.
Okay, stay with us, Brian. 51551. Let's listen to some of the sounds from Galway last night as we talked to Gil. Gil, good afternoon.
No, Oh, thanks for having me on.
Okay. Jill, sorry. You're originally from Brazil.
Brazil myself, Rio de Janeiro indeed, yeah.
And what's your reaction to what you witnessed in Galway?
So I'm shocked. I am shocked. Grateful.
Now, obviously, even without seeing the images, you can hear that people are on top of each other.
I had seen the image on social media this morning, and I just want to understand, as Brian just said, what's the part that people didn't understand yet, mm-hmm. after 6 months at home? Like, 6 months, and people are still reacting like that. Students, highly educated, right? So these are the same people that are going to run the country in a few years' time. Mm. Do you know what I mean? I can't accept that. Like, I am giving up a lot of my personal life, my professional life, because of this virus. And I am doing exactly as you said to be done. So my husband. So we are doing, and his family as well, we are doing everything to get out of this good shape and form.
And how
it's
is
not happening.
And what has the impact been on your family? You mentioned your husband, Jill.
Absolutely huge. Like, my husband, he had a heart attack. We used to mess around a heart attack in the house because he also had heart failures after the massive heart attack he had in 2013. Mm-hmm. So we are just at home. Like, he still works, but he has no contact with anyone. I'm at home working since the 8th of March when the company put everybody in quarantine, even before the Irish government went on lockdown. So we don't have any holidays. We don't have any quality time. We had one dinner out since, which was my birthday in July. And that was it. Like, we are doing everything that's said to be done. Even last week, I go with friends, or one friend, walk in the park twice a week. I had to say to him from last week, we are not going because, like, we have to cut short our contact.
Yeah, yeah.
This week, we were supposed to be on holiday in Kerry. We cancel because we are doing everything that has to be done. But I can't accept people, youngers, going around, socializing, drinking in groups out there. And then they get home. They got infected their grannies, parents. They're going to infect their loved ones. They're going to infect people that are working on retail shops. So what's the point? So why the government don't come forward? Michal Martin, Leo Varadkar has to come forward and put something in place. They're going to put the people to think about that. Because I'm exhausted. I was supposed to be on holidays. I didn't have a single day off apart from bank holidays. Mm. And I'm working night and day and staying at home. I don't see the virus getting, like, it's spreading still out there. People don't think about that. So what's the point for me to being at home? Like, if people are not doing their beats, it's because they think they are underage or they are under 45, they are safe, they are not.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? So this is absolutely disgusting. I'm so concerned about people that come every year to spend the holidays, greeting season, Christmas with their families. They will not be able because they're going to have to quarantine for 14 days. Who has the time to quarantine for 14 days? Before Christmas. Like, do you know what I mean?
I know somebody's, one senator was saying on Claire Bourne show this morning, bring in the army. Another commentator, was saying they insist that all those students last night, I don't know how you do this, quarantine for 2 weeks. Another saying UCG, NUIG as they call it now, should shut down and send all the students home.
Like, I think this year was, in my point of view, maybe people will not agree with me and they are entitled to. They had to cancel that. Like, students, they can, unless if they have to practice in any kind of duties, stay at home. Stay at home. Like, go. I went back to my French classes online. I can do my lectures online. I have meetings online. Everything I'm doing is online. They know better than me what to do and how to do it. So do you know what I mean? So there was no need. So tell me, so you come to me and say that, oh, maybe they didn't know. Please don't give me that. Don't come to me and say they didn't know, because they know more than myself. Do you know what I mean? I just can't accept this kind of behavior and things going to stay like that.
And Jill, where do you work at the moment?
I work for a company that works basically purely with hospitality. It's the biggest, largest tourism website.
And how's it doing?
Like, we are struggling.
Yeah.
We are struggling because I work with markets that are highly impacted and they live purely of tourism. So what happened is hotels are broken. Tourism sector is broken. Yeah. Like airlines, like you're talking on a daily basis about that. So why people don't be a little bit, like, just a little bit of sympathy, just a little bit. Like, think about the others. Like, they're going to have many years. Like, if this is the beginning of their studies, they're going to have 3-4 years to go out, socialize, to get a pint, to go on a trip together. But please, just refrain from the exact time, just right now. Just stay at home. Like, help us to get through this together. Like, because I feel myself, like, if I were cheated. Like, I'm trying to do everything I can, but people are not cooperating with the way I think. Of course, everybody's entitled to think differently in the society. I understand, but like, this is a huge ask. Think about the ones that lost someone, like, out of nowhere.
And where, Jill, where are you from originally?
I'm from Brazil. I'm from Rio de Janeiro.
Oh, God. From Bolsonaro.
I've been living here 15 years now.
From Bolsonaro's country. My God.
Like, it's not much of help either. Like, this is another disease that we are carrying. And people are so absolutely concerned about him. So him and Trump are, like, side to side. I would say they are BFFs. So, because, like, the way they're doing things and the way they are leading things in the wrong way, like, we are walking backwards, thoroughly, completely.
And have you been, by the way, have you been talking to your family in Brazil, Jill?
All the time, yeah, all the time. Like, my sister is, thanks God, they're in a very good position. One of them is a school teacher, so she teaches from home. The second one, she worked for the army. So they stay a few weeks or a month at home, but they had to go back to work eventually. So, but like, the situation is also dramatic. So people are still like pretending, or maybe they cannot see what's out there. Like, but Joe, I see that in many other countries. Like, I see that some countries, they are putting regulations in place, like fining people, or like have kind of curfew, like, well, nothing's open after 8 o'clock or so on.
Well,
get to this stage?
Well, the UK introduced last Thursday night a 10 p.m. curfew, but it looks like it's collapsed. I was listening to stories about Newcastle, Sunderland, Bristol, Birmingham, Coventry, Manchester, Liverpool, where it's and everyone pours out onto the street at 10 o'clock, and it's like Galway in Freshers' Week, people dancing and getting to the off licences and continuing the drinking on the street. So that's in the UK, but it's a real. Brian, do you see the pubs closing again, lock, stock and barrel?
I'm not too sure, Joe, but I do believe that the pubs should have been open back in June. But if, for example, if the government...
Well, we are where we are today, Brian.
We're back in where we are. But if the pubs were to follow England and close us at 10 o'clock, then to what hope have publicans got to make any money? But, you know, you're talking about people going out in the street when the closes at 10, 11, 12 o'clock. Mm. We're still going to have that problem of people coming from different pubs and congregating outside. That's down to the guards, to police then. Like, how we can only do what we can do.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know what the answer is. Dave, good afternoon. 51551, wash your hands, Joe at RT.ie. Dave, your daughter works. Your dimension, Newcastle, your daughter works.
Yeah, my daughter works as in ICU in England, you know. Okay. And so I'm concerned for her, one, as anyone would, any parent. But the carry on of students in Galway the other night. They're putting people's lives in danger, their own families, as it's been said, parents, grandparents, and people working on the frontline services, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, this has been going on 6 months, and there are people in ICU, nurses and doctors, and God knows what, trying to save lives, and these supposed educated people in Galway and various other places, young people. A fire engine should have been brought in last night and hosed a whole lot of them down and let them go home wet, and continue to do that. Off licences in Galway should be closed at 6, and there should be a new restriction on people buying. Anyone under the age of 30 should not be allowed to buy alcohol from off licences. For the moment. This is a critical point.
Well, one thing we know about last night, the common denominator, apparently, it's not 100%, I'm sure, but the common denominator is they're all students from Galway. Should the colleges in Galway, GMIT and NUIG, should they do something en masse?
Well,
so to speak?
The president of Galway University stated that if there were any students found to be, we call it breaking the law, that we thrown out of the college. And I mean, these guys are getting grants from the government to go down to study in Galway. Some of them would be.
Yeah.
And if the people are breaking the law, the grants should be taken away from the students fund themselves if they want to go to college if they're breaking the law. It's really getting so serious, as you know, right around the world. But I mean, this behaviour is crazy.
Like, England is bad. I know you don't want to mention the exact hospital.
Oh, I prefer not to know.
But I mentioned cities earlier on, which seem to be out of control.
I heard you saying that, yeah. Yeah, well, I didn't know they were acting
10 o'clock
like hooligans all over the place.
Oh,
yeah.
Stay there for a sec, Dave. I'll come back to you in a sec. Sarah's in Galway, okay, in Spanish Arch, and you say, which is the scene last night, or one of the scenes of the carry-on. Sarah, go ahead, from Spanish Arch. What's it like down there normally?
Well, I don't think it's all students. I know there are always lots of hangers-on, and we do have this. We've had this before, pre-COVID. We've had it during race week. We've had it St. Patrick's weekend. People using our doorways as loos, which is disgusting. And I think that the off-licences have a lot of responsibility. And maybe if they were closed for a week, we would see a difference. All of them, in supermarkets as well.
So you're saying in Galway, well, the area would be, say, County Galway, given in terms of administration. You say in Galway, the government should move and just shut down all the off-licences for 7 days.
Yes. I'd love to see the result of that.
Well, what do you think the result? What you say, you're living over people peeing in your doorway?
Yes.
On a regular basis?
Yes.
In Spanish Arch?
When these nights get very busy. And
it's a no lose down there.
No, there is the river. And the other thing
is, there's obviously a lot of tributaries going into that river by the sounds of it.
But there is the worry of accidents in the river. And there have been a number of those recently.
Yeah.
So for loads of reasons, I'm not involved in public houses at all, but I do think they have to have responsibilities. They have to pay staff, they have to keep the places clean, including the loos, and keep a kind of orderly house, all of that. But the off-licences get off scot-free. They don't give anything to society. So,
well, you see, they would argue they do, Sarah, because on every bottle of wine, I think there's £6 tax. On every bottle of whiskey, I think there's £17 tax. This is their argument. We pay taxes.
Yeah.
Maybe put up prices in off licences.
Yeah. Well,
if ever the country needs more income,
close them for a few days and just see what happens. I think it would be very interesting. Anyway, I'm glad you're here. By the way, Sarah, just before I go, I'll let Brian.
Sarah, have you ever gone to check anyone who's urinating in your doorway to say get away?
Say that again.
Have you ever gone to check anyone and say, listen, go and find a public loo?
Oh, my goodness, you get such abuse.
Oh,
absolute dog's abuse if you say anything. I don't know where these people's homes are, what they're like, but I suppose people lose their sense of, I don't know, good manners, whatever, when they get too much booze on them. Anyway. Yeah.
Brian thanks, Sarah. Stay there if you wish, Sarah. Brian, what are you saying? You think the pubs,
Sarah's point about closing the off license up there, right? First of all, no matter what, students are going to get drink from anywhere. They'll find some way of getting drink if the off license are closed. Second of all, we pubs are closed at 11:30 now and everybody out at 11:30. It is manageable, but it's just very, very hard. But maybe if the pubs were open an extra hour earlier, or an extra hour later, they might be controlled more and people are going home then instead of going to house parties if they have an extra hour.
Okay.
But I don't agree with off licenses being closed. It's people's livelihoods and students are going to get drink. They're going to find it somewhere.
Yeah. Tommy Roddy is in Galway. Tommy, good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon, Joe.
Your point, please, Tommy.
Yeah, the point I want to make, it's very easy to scapegoat the students and I believe that's what's happening. And then we can all feel smug in our own, you know, cosy little homes. Well, there's an awful lot of stuff going on in Galway that, you know, if you scapegoat students, then you ignore what's happening. Like the Connacht Tribune reported there 2 weeks ago, it's on their website, that the Gardaí here in Galway were called out to 1,000 house parties in the last few months. You know, I mean, this is going on.
And were there any prosecutions?
Well, no, it didn't say whether there were any prosecutions.
A thousand house parties, not a single prosecution.
A thousand house parties, yeah. Yeah, 1,000 house parties in the last few months. You know, like the figures we know in Galway are kind of...
But why can't you... But hang on, I know you're saying, oh, people are scapegoating students, which is a... But like, why can people not say, no, the students were wrong or the house parties are wrong? We're in a pandemic. People are dying. Listen to Lifeline. Listen to people who survived.
Yeah,
listen to what they've gone through.
But my point
going
is
through.
That if you direct all your attention to the students...
No, you know, hang on. No one is directing all their attention. The fact was that the Freshers' Week in Galway, that there was an event last week, as Sarah says, among other things, on the Keys, very dangerous location. People were... What were they singing? They were jumping up and down. What was the song, I Want to Live or something? They were all singing. They were obviously giving the two fingers to the regulations. Obviously. So it's not scapegoating. Get rid of that word, please.
Well, it is scapegoating.
It's scapegoating if it's not true. But we are talking about house parties till we're blue in the face at this stage. But where are the prosecutions? Where are the prosecutions? A thousand house parties Gardaí were called to between March and September.
Yes, 1,000 house parties Gardaí and Galway were called out in the last few months. It's on the Connacht Tribune.
And I believe you, I totally believe you, but where are the prosecutions?
Well, no, I didn't mention about prosecutions. Maybe it says they were called out to 1,000. Like the Gardaí resources are obviously stretched, so that doesn't necessarily mean they went out to... all these house parties. You know,
I'm looking at it here, they say they responded to 1,034 house party related calls. Well, that's responded.
I've been listening to various stations locally and nationally all morning, and every single station has been covering this story, you know. But and that's fair enough, but the figures that are in Galway at the moment, and we may be going into level 3 at the end of the week, as you know, but I mean, this is as a result of what's been happening over the last few months, you know. So, I mean, people are ignoring what's actually happening. Like, I don't actually go into pubs at night time now, even pubs that, you know, say that they're running a good show, because I've walked past certain pubs and I know from the noise coming from inside pubs and pubs that have outdoor areas where I can actually see people, and I know social distancing is not happening in these pubs.
Okay. Jill, what do you think of what Tommy Roddy is saying, that we're only scapegoating students?
Like, students are the most accessible to everything out there at the moment. I mean, like, but this could be for everyone. Like, not only me, that's over 45, not only you, not only Brian. Everybody should be at least a little bit concerned. Like, students nowadays, they have to think that they're going to be in your place, in my place, in a few years' time. So if they're not doing right now, what are they going to do when the time comes?
Okay. So, I'll let you back in a sec. Tommy, Josephine is on the line. Josephine says, I've never seen anything like what goes on in Galway generally. It ruins living in the city. Josephine, good afternoon.
I'm just disgusted. It's not just now, it's over the years, Joe. And what people forget, these students aren't all Galwegians.
Yeah, obviously.
They're from all over the country.
Well, there is enough students. Well, of course they're from all over the country. They're going to third level colleges, aren't they? So they,
No, it's just disgusting.
So what's your point, Josephine? What should be done from those from all over the country? What can be done?
Well, I think last night, like one gentleman said, they should have been hosed out.
Yeah, but there's no, the fire brigade. That's the last thing, Galway. They're brilliant service in Galway. That's the last thing they would do. They save
people.
It's very
hard to break
they
up
save people's
so many
lives.
People.
If they want to bring in a water cannon, well, that's a completely different department.
Yeah. But I think they need help from the Garda. Need help to.
And what's Galway like generally? You say I've never seen anything like it.
Over the years, during a Thursday night, a students' night.
Oh, is it? Yeah.
Disgusting down the town.
And what? Give me descriptions.
Well, women pulling down their pants, going to the toilet in the street.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not they're not up a side lane or anything. Not
well, I'm sure the men aren't far behind.
Yeah, dreadful, absolutely dreadful. And lying on the street, stopping all the traffic, you know, just appalling. I mean, if you talk to a taxi man in Galway, he'll tell you exactly what goes on. It's absolutely disgraceful. Now, like that Brazilian lady, I've travelled her country. Yeah, I have never witnessed anything. What's wrong here is there's no discipline on children or youngsters anymore. They just seem to do what they want, what they like. That's it.
Okay, but John was in Aaron Square last night, Josephine. John, what tell Josephine what you saw last night? I didn't see. In one sense, you say it's not what's portrayed. John, come on in, John.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead, John.
Yeah, well, I was in Air Square last night for a couple of hours, and I didn't see anything wrong with those young people at all. And
yeah, but it wasn't in Air Square where the activity was going on.
It
was down near Spanish Arch, wasn't it? That's where the crowd.
I went around it all.
And are you saying those videos that have gone viral were CGI? They were photoshopped.
One little part, and you'll always get that. You'll see worse in any town in Ireland on a Saturday night.
Yeah, but this is we're in a pandemic.
Yes,
this is
I
a new
that.
World. It's irrelevant
yeah,
what, we,
these,
what we've seen.
These young people have to live. Like it's crazy. The young people, in my opinion, have been very good throughout all this, okay. And I think that you may let them live because if not, you'll have people like a lot of sheep going around in a few years' time.
Yeah, dead sheep.
There was nothing wrong with those kids.
Dead sheep. Dead sheep.
If they're very good,
people are dying. A million people are dead from the A million people are dead from coronavirus. 1 million.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's one fifth the population of Ireland.
Yeah, well,
dead. This is real.
I know it is. And I'm living through it too. But I'm at an age now where the number's coming up anyway. So I think the young people should be left alone. Like, I mean, they weren't doing anything wrong there last night.
They obviously were. They were congregating in more than groups of 15 outdoors.
I've seen
a full stop
there for one thing.
Unless you're saying that the images that are on the gone viral are photoshopped.
Young people shouldn't be left alone. Young people shouldn't be left alone. How can you say that young people should be left alone? And what about the others? What about me? What about maybe Joe or any other people that's just listening to us now? Like, what lack of sympathy that young people have to be left alone? I can't accept you to listen to it. It's unbelievable. Like, the right has to be to... Everyone has the right to be happy, to go up in the right moment, just right now. No, but it can't.
Can I come back in there
as well? I can't accept that.
And John, when you say they were doing nothing wrong, how do you measure if somebody was doing something wrong last night?
Well, they weren't, as I could see, all hugging one another and all that. And they were standing there talking together in a queue there to go wherever they were going. Now, in my, mm-hmm. I was looking at, even my daughter was with me, and she said how well they behaved they were.
Okay, well, the images are different from down around Spanish Arch. Where's Patrick?
Huh?
Patrick, good afternoon. You're in Claddagh in Galway.
Hello?
Oh, Patricia, sorry, I'm reading it wrong. I need to go to Specsavers. Patricia, sorry, Patricia, apologies.
That's okay.
Yeah, go ahead. What did you see?
Yeah, well, if someone thinks that they weren't doing anything wrong, they'd want to be here at 2-3 in the morning, and you're not able to sleep, and they're urinating in your gardens, in the church, everywhere around the area. It's a disgrace down here, and it's not only the past few nights. This has been going on for months, and it gets worse and worse every year, and nothing has been done.
And is it that Galway is party central? Is it, Patricia?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Is it for stag parties and hens parties and visitors? And
yeah, but the stag parties, hen parties are all in the pubs. These are all young people buying in the off licenses. It's no such thing as like just a few cans anymore. It's a few cases.
A few slabs, as they say. Yeah.
Yeah.
And what you say, I see there, I got to bed at 11 and was still awake at 4 in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah.
Joe, can I come in there?
And you say that the priest had to stop them urinating in the church.
Yeah, they're after putting up gates into the cemetery, the old cemetery and church gates. The prior just be out stopping them coming in. Last Saturday night, there was an average 300-400 young people, kids, I mean kids, 15, 16 years of age, Saturday night, down around here. And it's just destroyed the place. They were fighting everything. 3 Gardaí came back. And it's frightening to see you.
Would you go out and check them, Patricia? Tell them to get lost. And that was,
you're told to F off and other things. There was 2 girls in my garden last week urinating.
Okay.
Anyone that says leave them be, they're young adults, they're not kids.
They are adults. Most of them can vote, I presume. Well, you're saying maybe there's a younger group.
And from what I saw last night walking down, it's a long time since I walked down through town last night, and it was scary coming back, because all it was abuse, and for anyone to say that they were okay last night, they were not.
Well, Tommy was in Air Square and he said they were fine.
Well, whatever Tommy saw, I don't know, because down Shop Street and down Spanish Arch and down the Claddagh, total disgrace.
All right. Tommy, do you want to reply to that? Yeah.
Joe?
Yes, Tommy.
Yeah, no, Joe. What do you expect these young people to do? I mean, young people...
Excuse me.
Can I make my point?
Yes.
Young people, students, by their very nature... I've been in college a couple of times myself. They meet up in large groups. They cannot go into pubs. 6 is the most is the largest amount that can go in a group together in a pub. They can't go to pubs. The nightclubs are closed. So what do you expect them to do? If they go go to house parties, then everybody's complaining about the house parties. But the reality is, house parties have been going on in Galway all summer, and that is why the numbers are the way they are. You know,
Drinking down here has been going on all summer as well, only for the 3 weeks it was closed off.
Well,
South Park down beside us here was full of drugs on Saturday morning, and the kids going down there training, broken bottles, glass, everything.
This was a once-off thing.
All the councillors are all around Claddagh all of a sudden.
Yeah, but I mean, you had a senator this morning that was talking about bringing in the army. That's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard.
No, it's not. Not for the people of Claddagh,
we're afraid
to one of our houses to tell them to go away.
And what about the guy that was on earlier talking about using a water cannon? You know, this is
well, never
by
mind
the
water cannon. What about the young girl that went into the river last week? Thank God she was pulled out safely.
Yeah, I don't know the circumstances.
Yeah, but
that.
That's a separate incident.
No, it's not a separate incident. They were all over there drinking.
Okay, we don't know what they were doing. Okay, Patricia, don't go into that detail. I'll be back after the break. Stay there. 51551 Marjan.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Okay, people have contacted us about the scenes in Galway last night and the general scene with house parties, and people seem to be losing their will to abide by the regulations. They also, Brian also contacted us, and he's saying, he's a public, and he's saying he's on the verge of shutting down again because he thinks it's out of control in his pub, even though he has 4 bouncers and 12 staff, believe it or not. People just after a few drinks getting strappy and anstey. Sarah, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
Good, thanks. You're listening to this debate.
Yes, and I think maybe from my perspective, changing the debate about what we can do as an immediate effect on drinking is looking at a higher level, because for years we're hearing about levels of alcohol drinking in the country. So my proposal is, why can't we bring in emergency legislation to actually enable only people over the age of either 21 or 23 during the pandemic to buy alcohol? It actually, we brought in enough emergency legislation for businesses to be closed down temporarily and for loss of their income. I think this is quite an easy fix, which then actually protects our students in colleges as well. In the US, as it is in most states, in California, you can't buy a drink unless you're over 23. And there's even some counties in the US which are dry counties. Now, I'm not suggesting that. But we have the power, and Stephen Donnelly has the power to bring this forward. Simon Harris, for a long time, was very concerned about level of alcohol drinking in the country. We're in a pandemic now at the moment. We need to protect people, including protecting
Would you not prefer 18-year-olds who have the right to vote, get married, adult prison, everything? Mm-hmm. Would you not prefer adults to be in regulated areas like pubs, instead of driving them out of pubs?
I don't have any issue about pubs.
But you're saying, you wouldn't let 21-year-olds into a pub, or 18 or 19-year-olds into a pub, or would you? But they can't buy alcohol.
They can't buy alcohol. So this is, you know, not everybody goes into a pub to drink alcohol.
Oh, I know that. But it is a unique setting point. If you want a can of Club Orange Zero, you can get it in your garage.
Absolutely. But I think this goes to the higher debate yet again of, you know, how we protect our young people. And we all know that the sales of alcohol have skyrocketed since the lockdown in March.
Well, they've transferred. They've gone from the pub to the off licence, but the cumulative is still not greater than the pub and the off licence combined. Obviously, if the pubs were closed, people went to supermarkets or off licences or whatever they get. But it hasn't skyrocketed in terms of overall spend. Now it's a long term project to do people at home at night, fed up, lorrying into bottles of wine or whatever, and whiskies and whatever else is.
Well, I hope the whole country isn't laureling into it. But my suggestion here is, this is the bigger debate. We've had the debate about minimum pricing of alcohol. This is now about the minimum age of people's brain development as well. So I think this is very important.
But Sarah, do you really think, one of the strongest lobbies in the country, and that's been proven by the fact that the pubs reopened outside of Dublin. They were within 48 hours of opening in Dublin when it all went belly up. The publicans lobby, the two main organisations, are a pretty powerful lobby now. And I don't. Do you think you'll get 21? You think you'll get it up from 18 to 21?
I think you would. I mean, I've worked in the US for the last 20 years, spending ample time from East Coast to West Coast. And you certainly don't see heavy drinking on the streets. Students in universities, there's very strict laws on drinking on campus and off campus in terms of behaviours as well.
Okay.
And you see very, very responsive. I'm not saying, you know, it always works. But I think from the perspective of how do we change the conversation and the dialogue and how we treat alcohol, that I think we do have to have a serious conversation. about raising that age. Mm. And why not? What are people's concerns? Is it that then that the main income is coming from under 21-year-olds? I don't think so. Those are not the majority of people who are drinking in the pubs. I'm talking about more concerned about in the off-license, you know. And
but
also,
but is there, Sarah, is there a danger here that we're now forming a circular firing squad? The young people, different people are giving out about the students. Other people are giving out about house parties, rightly so. Other people are giving out older people not wearing masks in shops or whatever. Other people are giving out about over 70s, even though the bottom line on all five levels at the moment, according to government guidelines, is that over 70s should severely limit their outdoor activity, severely limit their outdoor activity. So there is a bit of a circular firing squad as I'm not saying things are breaking down, but students are getting in the neck, old people are getting in the neck, house parties are getting in the neck. It's getting tougher and tougher, isn't it?
It is tough, and it's going to be a long road for everybody. And I think that the country has done an amazing job. Mm. I have not come on air to point a finger at anybody. Everybody is doing as best as they can. Complacency sets in, absolutely, tiredness, fatigue, all of that. But I think this is about protecting everybody. This is protecting our young people as well from the ravages of over-drinking, you know. So from my perspective, in an off-license, 21 or even 23, and you can only buy one bottle of wine or three, you know what I mean? And you can go in as many times as you like, whatever. It's a bit like, you know, going in and being able to buy paracetamol, one box. Why can't we, you know, it shouldn't be any different. So I think it's more, to me, it's about a debate, a serious and an emergency debate about how we protect everybody, but particularly our young people, you know, and that's just what that's just the point that I wanted to make in coming on air today. Is that the age limit does have an effect.
Okay.
It does have an effect, and we can't be complacent and do nothing about it.
Okay, does Jill want to come back in, Jill?
Yeah, just brilliant what I've just heard
Sarah,
now.
Sarah,
brilliant what you just said. What I think is, while regulations, really strong regulations, don't come in place, and also when people don't feel the pain coming out of their pockets, nothing going to change. Because as much as the country has been asking, since March, 6 months, listen to the same thing, do this, do that, and people are still not being able to understand the full message. I think now we're going to have to, I would go for the plan B, okay? Okay, so what do you have to change? Let's change the regulation. So over 21s now, right, drinks, not under 18s, or not 18s, okay. Like, do you know what I mean? And also, Spain, France, Portugal, they are fining people for not complying with the regulations. So, and things are working. Things are working because people are feeling the pain of paying fees, 1,200 fees for not having the mask. Do you know what I mean? So this doesn't happen here, we're going to be sitting down watching all these kinds of things happening over and over again. And coronavirus is not here for another 6 months. There is no expiring due date. It's going to be for at least another year until the vaccine comes on board. Do you know what I mean? So, like, what are people waiting for? Things to get worse? The government to say, now we're going to have to pay. Okay, now we're going to stop. Take the advantage now. Nobody's paying nothing for that. Nothing. It's only few asked. People in the past were asked to go to the war. People are just asking for you to stay at home and use your mask and sanitizer hand. And social distancing doesn't cost anything. Anything, just a common sense. If you're senseless, of course, like, people are going to think, well, but I never got the virus. I didn't know anyone that got the virus. But think about the others that unfortunately got through it.
Okay, very strong words, Jill. Jill, mind yourself. Yeah. Patricia, Tommy, Sarah, all
sure,
our other...
Jill, thanks very much.
Thank you all.
Thank you all.
Okay,
stay safe.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.